Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shkolem Daf Tes Vav. We're actually 13 lines from the top of the Amud. And we go back to our Mishnah here. Just a couple of lines left to the Gemara explaining the Mishnah regarding the Chaysamais of Nesachim. We discussed the tickets that were purchased from Yochanan. He was a ticket master. You buy a ticket for your Nesachim, then go over to Achia, who's in charge of the supplies, and receive your Nesachim supplies, flour, wine, or oil. Says the Gemara, V'shem hayim kosav v'chulu. Each receipt was date stamped. It said Tuesday on it. Why? Mipnei haramoin. Mishnah said we're trying to avoid ramos, deceit. We want to prevent the ramoim, the dishonest fellows, from bypassing the system. Now, what does that mean? According to some mefarshim, it simply means that if somebody perhaps finds a ticket that was dropped by either one, either Yochanan or Achia. So this fellow finds it, and he's a Ramai, dishonest fellow. He knows that everybody's on the lookout today, so he won't come today with that ticket. They know he didn't buy it, so he's afraid to show up today. He'll wait until everything calms down, wait another week or two, and then come to claim this ticket, claim the Nesachim. Therefore, they had a date stamped, which would ensure that it could only be used today, past today, it's expired. Says the Gemara, Haga ba'atzvacha, but think into it. What's the point of date stamping it? Tuesday. He'll just wait till next week. Shezig oisoy hayoim. He'll just match up that day. He'll come back next week, Tuesday. Says the Gemara, Shem Mishmar hayikasavalov. In addition to the day of the week, it had the name of this very specific Mishma, this group of Kehanim working that week in the Beis HaMikdash. So all would know this ticket was purchased on Tuesday of the Mishmar Yehoyarov's week. So he can't come back next week when it's a different Mishmar in charge. Hagam Atzmacha, but think into it further. Shuzig Oysa Mishmar. Suppose he matched up that same Mishmar. Half a year later, because each Mishmar served twice a year. So why can't he come back a half a year later when this same Mishmar is in service? Shema Yoim. Says the Gemara, they had the name of the day, Shem Shabbos. They had which Shabbos in the month it was. So it was Tuesday of the second Shabbos, Shem Chodesh HaYikosolein, and that month. So all this information was written on the stamp, on this receipt, the day of the week, day of the month, which Shabbos, which Mishmar. Afilu Reitz Lezayig, even if a person attempts to mash things up, Ein Matzu Lezayig, it's virtually impossible to have everything fall out perfectly in sync, and therefore this would prevent any wrongdoing. Continues the Gemara. Shtei lishkos hayu b'migdash, there were two rooms in the Beis HaMikdash in which you would put donations. Achas lishkas chashoin, what was called the hidden room, v'achas lishkas hakelim, the other one was the kelim room, explains the Mishnah. Lishkas chashoin, what was that for? Yirei chet, people who were upstanding individuals, Yirei Chet, wanted to give tzedakah, but they don't want to make a scene. They don't embarrass the recipient. So what would they do? Noisnin l'soicha b'chashai. They would place some tzedakah in this room quietly. Nobody will see it. V'anim b'nei toivim misparnes mitoicha. And some poor people who belong to good families, to wealthy families, respectable families, and perhaps by a stroke of bad mazel, lost their wealth. They're aniyim, but there are people that have self-respect, and they're embarrassed to take tzedakah. It's demeaning. So this was the lishka designated for them. The reichet would donate quietly, and the aniyim b'nei toivim misparnes in mitoicha. They would take tzedakah from this room, b'chashai, quietly, hidden from view. So this is a very high level of tzedakah. You know, Rambam goes through various levels of tzedakah. For instance, if the giver, the donor, knows his recipient, but the recipient does not know the donor, that's also a big deal. Because the recipient doesn't have to face his donor and be embarrassed. Or if you have the recipient knowing the donor, but the donor not knowing the identity of his recipient, that's also a high madriga. And here we have an even higher level. Neither the donor or the recipient knew of each other. And this was a very high level at Stockholm. This was the Lishkas HaShoyim. What about Lishkas HaKelim? Kol Mishum Esnadiv Kli Zorik L'Soich. One donates a Kli, he tosses it into that room. V'achas L'Shoshim Yoyim. And once in 30 days, HaGizborin Peischen Oysa, the administrators would open up that room. V'chol Kli Shemotzu Boi Tzorich L'Bedek HaBayis. And anything in there which they deemed suitable for Bedek HaBayis use, a hammer, a screwdriver, which was roi for the Bedek HaBayis, manichin oisei, they leave it in place. V'ashar, everything else, for which they found no use, no practical Beis HaMikdash use, nimkaran, that was sold off, udmei and noiflin, the Bedek HaBayis, and the money received would be directed to the building fund. The more now we'll go into this topic of tzedakah, stuck on the highest level in a way which you minimize any bezoin, any embarrassment. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachman, these two, Havun Parnasim, they were stuck of fund administrators. Vavun Yavin, and they would give money to Rav Chama Avoy to Rabbi Yishaya. Dinner, they would give a dinner, they would give money to Rav Chama, who was the father of Rabbi Yishaya. And he would hand it over to other people, meaning he himself wasn't a poor person. He wasn't deserving of tzedakah money. The reason why he accepted the money was simply that he can give it over. He was a shliach to give it over to poor people who were embarrassed to take money from tzedakah. So this way he took it on their behalf and gave it to them quietly to avoid embarrassment. Rabbi Zechariah, who was the chasni, the son-in-law of the Rebbe Levi, everybody began talking about him. Amram, they said, Deloit Tzorich. He's not eligible for tzedakah money. He's a wealthy fellow. V'nasav. Man, look, he's taking tzedakah money. He's collecting money. What's going on? Min d'damach. After he passed away, Batkin, they investigated v'ashkin. You know what they discovered? Dava mafgle l'chernin. He didn't keep the money for himself. He collected tzedakah money, but he handed it out to others, every penny of it. So apparently he felt that by collecting for himself, on his own name, that would generate more generous donations, which would allow him to give more tzedakah to those who need it. So the aniyim were deserving of tzedakah, and the donors should have given. So he found a method. He used this ploy to get people to give money. They thought it was for him, a big tzaddik. And they gave generously. This allowed him to hand over that money to genuinely poor people. Rabbi Chinna bar Papa have a maflik mitzvah baladio. Rabbi Chinna bar Papa went around at night giving tzedakah. Mitzvah here is a reference to tzedakah. He would give out tzedakah at night. He would drop some envelopes in the mailboxes quietly at night so nobody should see. It's interesting that in the Yerushalmi, the term mitzvah in matters of Agadah is a reference to tzedakah. I once saw pshat. Tzedakah is a very profound mitzvah. You take your own money. It's part of yourself. What you work for, you toil for the entire day, and something that you can use to, which you can buy anything, food, etc. It's your nefesh. It's part of your life. It's called damim. It's like your blood. It's part of your essence, and you're giving it away. That's a true mitzvah. That's a highest level mitzvah possible. You're taking yours, yourself, your essence, and you're giving it away, you're elevating it to Kedusha. So he gave out mitzvah balaldi, he was giving out stuck at night. Chadzman, it happened at one time, Pogabei, Rabbi in the Ruchaya, the head of the evil spirits, the Rosh Hashiva of the Ruchai's rice, meets him at night. Amarle says, what are you doing here? You're encroaching on my territory. Nighttime is a time for mazikim, for shaitan to roam the streets. What are you doing here doing mitzvahs out in the dark? Loikin Alfon Rebbe, didn't you teach us? Loi sasik voluriachin. You're meant to encroach on somebody else's territory. What are you interfering with us? Amarle, Sir Chinna responded, I'm not afraid of you. V'loy king siv. But doesn't the pasuk say matam b'seiser? One gives tzedaka in a hidden manner. Matana b'seiser yich be'af. It subdues Hashem's anger. It subdues the koyches hara de mazikim. So when the mazik heard that, got scared. Vavim estafim in it. Was petrified from him. His matan b'seiser is going to subdue him. Va'arak min kumoy, and he ran away. Omar b'yoyna. Ashrei noisin ladal inksivkan. The pasuk in Tehillim doesn't say, lucky is the fellow who gives noisin ladal, gives to a poor man. Rather, elo ashrei maskil eldal. What does that mean? Zeushu mistakel b'mitzvah eich lasoise. He doesn't just give tzedakah, he's mistakel. He thinks into it. To do it in the best way. To give tzedakah in a way which is undemeaning. To avoid any sort of embarrassment. Says the Gemara, an example for this is, Ketzad Hoya Rabbi Yoina Oise. For example, what would Rabbi Yoina do? Kshay Yoroya Ani Ben Toif. If he noticed a poor man who hailed from a respectable family, he lost his money and it was embarrassing for this fellow to go ahead and resort to depending on public funds. Roya Ani Ben Toif Mishiyard Ben Chasav. He lost his wealth. He would tell him like this, Bini, my son, Bishvil Shashamati, you know, on account of the fact that I heard that great news, Shanaf Lucha Yerusha Mokamacher, you have a big Yerusha coming to you. I just heard you were Yerush $10 million. So I'll use that as a backup. I'll lend you some money in the meantime. Toil, take some money, Va'at Pare, you pay me back. Min Avanasiv, once this fellow received the money, Hava Omele, he would turn around to him and say, look, you know what? Matana hilcha. It's a gift. So in Farshim explain, if you don't have, you don't have to pay back. It's a loan, but only if you could, you'll pay me back. So the main embarrassment is the act of taking. At that point, he figured it was just a loan on account of the Yerusha that he supposedly had. And once he got it, he was already past that stage, and he just added, okay, it's just a matana, hold on to it if you need it. You know, I spent some time at the Shiva, at the Reichman house. He was a maskil eldal, Mr. Moshe Reichman, a maskil eldal. Everybody knows about his unbelievable chesed and tzedakah. This man gave away hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to tzedakah, but how he did it, the wisdom, the sensitivity. I heard several stories. I'll just say a couple of them. There was this fellow who came to the Shiva house. He said that Mr. Reichman actually set up a company. He created a corporation for his father, for this man's father. This man's father had lost his money. And Mr. Moshe Reichman was trying to figure out a way how to help him in a respectful manner without demeaning him. So he created a corporation from scratch, a real estate related company, put that fellow in charge. That fellow hired his son. His son was sitting by the Shiva and he said, I was hired by my father. I never knew who created the company. It was Moshe Reichman who did it just to help this fellow. There's another fellow who told us a story that there was a wealthy man who lost his money. And this is one of Moshe's sons was saying, Chesky. So this fellow lost his money and Moshe wanted to help him. So he went over to a certain yeshiva. A yeshiva which was a beneficiary of this formerly wealthy man. So he went over to the yeshiva, gave him a huge amount of money. He says, look, I want you to call up that donor who now lost his money. Tell him that the money that he donated to the yeshiva many years ago, large amount of money, was invested and now produced great dividends. We would like you to manage that fund. Unbelievable. So that man figured, listen, I lost all my money, but at least what I gave to the yeshiva is still intact. It's producing. Let me go manage the fund. And he had a job. Derech Kavod. So he was a maskil adal. Says the Gemara, Chiya Bar Ada said the following story. Is Hava, there were seven older people, B'yomeinon. Nowadays, there were some older people, poor people around. Manda Hava Yoiv Lohen. Whoever would give them stock, Mi Bein Reish Shata Litzoyim Rabba, between Reish Shata, Rosh Hashanah Litzoyim Rabba in Yom Kippur, during Aseret Yitzchak, they would accept. Havu Nasbin, they would accept the money to be mezakeh, to give them the opportunity to do tzedakah during that crucial point of the year. However, later on, midbasar ken, after that point, what you have an aspen, they would no longer accept donations. Amrin, they said, the shatan gabon, we have a whole long year ahead of us. We'll figure out a way to earn money, even though they were destitute. They refused to accept. And the only reason why they took it was to be mazakis, a rabbi, during Aseres Mitzvah. Nechemya ish Sichon. Nechemya from the town of Sichon, Pogaboy Yerushalmi Echad. A fellow from Yerushalayim once met him. A poor man. Armalei, and he told him, Zakei imi, please give me some tzedakah. Zakei imi means, it's a schus for you. We know the Gemara says that the ani is actually giving more to the Baal Bayis than in the reverse, because he's giving the Baal Bayis an opportunity to be zoiche, to a great mitzvah. So zachemi, I want you to be mezake, I want to be mezake, you give me a mitzvah. Chada tarnagota. So the poor man asked him to give him a chicken. He was used to eating chicken flesh. Please, let me have that. Amalei, so donor told him, what do you need chicken? Apparently, at that point, chicken was more expensive than animal meat. Heilecha tumise, take a coin, the kupat, and purchase some ordinary meat. Vizav and kupat, this fellow took the coin, bought meat, v'achal, and he ate it, umayis, and he died. Apparently, he was so sensitive, he needed tarnagolas, and he couldn't handle it. Nechemya took the blame for this. V'yitzevech v'omar, he was yelling and saying, boyu v'siftu, come and let's make a hespit. La Rugishal Nechemya. Let's eulogize the person who Nechemya killed. He took the blame for not tending to his needs properly. Nachemish Gamzu. Hayamoylech Doiran the Beis Chamev. Nachemish Gamzu was bringing a gift of food to his in-laws' home. Poga Bay Mukishchen Echad. He encountered a fellow who was full of boils, a poor man. Omalei Zachei Imi Mimad Iskabach. Please let me have some of what you're holding. Omalei Nachemish Gamzu told him, Michzer, wait until I come back. I'll take care of you. Chazar, by the time he came back, v'ashkechei meis, he finds him passed away. It's too late. V'va'omar lekivle, Nochem began speaking opposite this fellow. And he was berating himself for not being sensitive to him. Einaya, the eyes, my eyes, the chaminach, which saw you, v'lo yaspunach, and didn't give you, my eyes who saw and ignored, yistamyon, they should become blind. Yodei, the hands, loy pashton mitanach, that didn't stretch out to give you, yiskaton, should be chopped off. Raglaya, the feet, loy ratan, that refused to run, lemeisanach, to give you, yistabrun, should break. Umatzekein, and that's what happened to him eventually. The Gemara doesn't explain how, but Hashem arranged that this should happen as a kapara, which he accepted upon himself. Salak l'gabei Rabbi Kiva came to visit him in that sorry state. Amarlei, Rabbi Kiva tells him, "Oily, woe to me, Shani Royos Chavakach, that I see you in this terrible state." Amarlei, Nachum turned to him and said, "Oily, woe to me, Shehain, Ani Royos Chavakach, that I don't see you experiencing this condition as well." Amarlei, Rabbi Kiva responded, "Mat Makaleni, why are you cursing me?" Amarlei, Nachum responded, "Umat Mavat Yisurim, why are you rejecting Yisurim? Yisurim is Mechaper, it's something good. I accept it upon myself, and I accept it with love." Says the Gemara another story. Rabbi Yoshia Rabba, that was his name. Have a rabbi, the rebbe of his son, Chad Sagi Nohira, was a certain blind man. Sagi means great, Nohira, light, lots of light. It's a euphemism referring to a blind man. So Rabbi Yoshia Rabba was the boss. And this blind man was his employee. He was the teacher of Rabbi Yoshia's son. Vavayolef, it was his practice, Echol Ime, to eat together with his boss. Bechol Yoim, every day he came for lunch, every day. Perhaps that was part of his payment. Chadzman, it so happened that one time, Havalei Orche, Rabbi Yoshia, the boss, had some guests. V'lei Mata Mechol Ime, and he didn't invite the Malame, the Rebbe, to come eat with him. Baramsha that night, Salak Gabe, Rav Hoshia came to the Rebbe. He wanted to explain himself. Amalai lo yichos marielai. Don't be upset at what I did. Begin the havali oichen yomidin, because I had some guests today. The amris, I figured, I don't want to embarrass you. You're a poor man. You're going to show up with those guests. They're going to look down at you. They shouldn't be any bizoyin. they shouldn't embarrass Biyukra de Mari, the honor of you, of your honor, of your the Rebbe. Yoy Madein today. Yoy Madein, that's why today, begin Cain, or Lelivze Biyukra de Mari, Yoy Madein. They shouldn't embarrass you today. Begin Cain. That's why. That's why I didn't eat with you today. And he accepted. He was appeased. He was happy. Amarle, the blind man turned to him and said, Atopiyasta, you appeased. You were sensitive to my feelings. You appeased Laman, a man, the Mischami, who is seen by others, Veloichami, but cannot see himself. It was like a rhyme. You appeased one who is seen but cannot see, on account of that, you should be Zoicha, that Dain, the one, Hashem, the Chami, Dain the Chami, the one that sees, V'loy Mischaim, but is an unseen, Yikal Piyusach, should accept your appeasement, meaning, should listen to your tefillahs. This was a tefillah, a bracha, in a rhyming fashion. You appease somebody who is seen but cannot see, the one who sees but is unseen, should be extra sensitive to you as well. Amar Lehi, Rav Eishi was so impressed with this beautiful bracha. He says, where did you get it from? Hadom Anolacha, where did you get this formula from? Amar Lehi says, Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. Because it was a story with Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. Al Chadze Sagi Nohira. It was one fellow, a blind man, who came in. All he came in, Chadze Sagi Nohira, a blind man, Lekarate to the city. He was a poor fellow. Yosav later, Blazer ben Yaakov, Luramini. Blazer ben Yaakov sat down beneath him, meaning there was a besmedrish, and he placed the blind man up ahead, Mizrach, and he sat behind him. What was the point? To create a good impression, the Yemrun. So people should say, the Luli, if not for the fact, the Hava Barnasha Rabba, that this man was a great person, well, Yosav later, Blazer ben Yaakov, Luramini, Blazer would not have sat behind him. And that opened their hearts to him. Avdin Parnasa de Eker. So they supplied his needs in a very grand way, with lots of covered, in a grand way. Omar Lain, this person didn't know what hit him. Suddenly the donations coming all over the place. Omar Lain, so he said to them, Mau Hochen, what is this? What's it all about? Omar Lain, so he explained to him, Rablazim Yaakov, Yosef L'Rabbi Nach. Look, Rablazim Yaakov sat down behind you, beneath you, below you, which was meant to send a message that you're a upstanding person, chashav yid, and therefore we supplied you with your needs. V'tzalui aloi, and this blind man was so moved by your blessed generous gesture, and he applied to him this tefillah. V'tzalui aloi, he davened for him, hadatzloisa, this formula. Atogamalta chesed, you granted chesed to myself, leman demeschami, to one who is seen by others, v'loi chami, and cannot see others. As a result, Dein the Chami Hashem, who sees V'lai Meschami and is unseen, Yigmal Yasa Chesed, should do Chesed with you as well, on account of your generosity. So you see from this Gemara, Mitzvah Tzedakah is a huge mitzvah, and especially if it's done with feeling, with sensitivity, Maskil Eldal. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Rabbi Oisha. Those two, Havu Mutailin, they were taking a walk, Be'elin Knishta de Lud, alongside the beautiful shuls in the town of Lud. Amar Rav Chama Bar Chanina, he said, and he turned to Rav Oishia. He said, take a look at these beautiful Bate Knesses. Come a moment. Take a look how much money, Shiku Avoisai Kan. Look how much money my parents, my ancestors invested in these buildings. Look at these beautiful architectural edifices. Amar Lei, he responded back. He wasn't impressed. Kamana fashais, shikwa besecha kan. How many souls have your fathers invested in these buildings? Loi hava, was there not is bnei nash? Was there not any people? The yilum by raisa, that toil and terror, that money could have been used for better purposes. We have priorities when it comes to tzedakah. They should have supported Talmid Chachamim rather than building these beautiful stone marble edifices. Could have built a simple shul and used the money for better purposes to support Torah, which is more important. In fact, the Rosh actually says that one may sell a shul in order to finance Limud HaTorah that's more important than building a shul. Continues Gemara, it's another similar story. Rabbi Avon, Avad, he did, he fashioned, he paid for Elaine Taraya, these beautiful gateways, these beautiful, beautiful doorways, this Sidra Rabba of this huge shul. Also, Rav Manan Gabe, Rav Manan visited the area, Amar Leh. So the donor said to him, Chami, take a look, my Avdis, look what I did. Look at these beautiful gates, these beautiful doors that I donated. Amar Leh, he responded, I'm unimpressed. The Pasuk says, Vayishkach Yisrael Sheseyu. Yisrael forgot their maker, they forgot Hashem, Vayiben, Heichalais, and built these beautiful edifices. Like, Hava Bnei Nash, Dilun Bei Raisa. You don't have any people here that are toiling in Torah. You should have supported them rather than diverting the money to this beautiful artistic doorway you created. Continues the Gemara, Tani, we learned in the Braise. Kochem is Beach. Moitzin esaroy lahen. Mikochem be the Kabai. Suppose the Kochem is Beach fund runs out of money. They run short. They can shore up their funds using the Bedek HaBayis fund, because you can upgrade, you know, Malin B'Kodesh. So Moitzin Esroi Lehen, they could draw what they need, Mikotche Bedek HaBayis, that's okay. But you can't do it in the reverse, Ein Kotche Bedek HaBayis, Moitzin Esroi Lehen, Mikotche Bedek HaBayis. You can't take Kotche Mizbeach and divert it to a lower cause, Kotche Bedek HaBayis, because Malin B'Kodesh, Ein Merid, says, well, is that so? You can take Bedek HaBayis and upgrade it? We learned in our Mishnah, this is the Lishka Sakel we described in the Mishnah. They take a look at the content every 30 days. They find a Kli which has a Tzorech, a use for Bedek HaBayis. They leave it there. Vashar, everything else, Nimkarn, is sold. Udmei Noiflin Bedek HaBayis. And the money enters the Bedek HaBayis fund. Apparently, you're not meant to upgrade it to Mizbeach. It's meant to stay where it is. On Rav Chizkiya, Keni Masnisin, yeah, our mission is speaking, Lishkas Bedek HaBayis. We're discussing Bedek HaBayis, that's a topic of conversation. But technically speaking, if there's a need, you may upgrade Bedek HaBayis funds for Kochei Mizbeach. Hadron Allah, Perik Elam Umar. Says the Mishnah Shlesha, also Sheifaris. There were 13 Sheifar shaped Pushkas, containers for tzedakah in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara will explain why it was fashioned in that form. Shloish Asrei Shulchanos, we have a list of 13s. 13 tables in the Beis HaMikdash. Shloish Esrei Hashtachavoyos, 13 places where they would bow. Hayu B'Mikdash. Shal Beis Rav Gamliel, v'shal Beis Rabbi Chanina Skana Kehanim. These families, Hayu Mishtachim B'Arba Esrei. They would bow down in another location as well. V'eichnoi So Yisera, where was that extra place? K'negedir Eitzim, opposite the firewood storage room. Why? Also special about that room. Shekein Mesoyrus B'yodim Abisein. They had a tradition handed down from their ancestors. Sheshama Or Nignas. In that room, beneath the floor, somewhere deep down, the Aron containing the Luchais was hidden away. I think we'll go into this in greater detail. In fact, Maaseh B'Kohen Echad was a story involving a Kohen who was a Balmum. And his job was to inspect the firewood, make sure it's free of any bugs. Shoyim Mesasek, he was busy there in the firewood chamber. V'roa esaritzpa, he noticed something strange about the floor. Shehi mishuna mechavrisa, there's one area that's out of place. Apparently it was removed and then restored. He noticed something peculiar. Pa v'amel chaver, so he went out and told his friend about it. He began to describe what he saw. You know, there's an area there which seems to be unnatural. It seems to have been replaced. Lehispik ligmer sadavar, he didn't get to finish to describe the exact location in greater detail, and he died. And as a result, they knew with certainty there must have been some hidden meaning here. Sheshama or Nignas, God knows that that's where the urn was hidden. They knew that the urn was somewhere down below ground. They didn't know where. And the fact that he passed away before he got a chance to speak indicated that there was something hidden there, something secretive. And Hashem didn't want him to reveal the details. Now a fellow in the Shir asked, well, why did he die? What did he do wrong? Apparently the fact that he divulged, even began discussing it, was something inappropriate. He should have kept it under wraps. It was a secret that's meant to be kept until the proper time arrives. Tani, we learned in the Braisa, Shefer Salolo, there was Pushkas described in the beginning of the Mishnah, which was shaped as Sheferas. Akumus Hayu. They were bent, they were round, Tsoris Milamala, narrow on top, Ruchavis Milamata, wide on bottom. Why? Bipnei Ramon. Because of the dishonest fellows. The Carbonate explains, this fellow's going to want to steal some funds. Well, it's in full public eye, you can't just go over and pull out some money. So I'm going to pretend. He's going to walk over to the pushka, pretend that he's donating money. And maybe he needs some change. He's going to put his hand in and take out some funds. That's why it was narrow on top, with just enough space to drop in money, with no access to the funds within. Now the Gemara is going to discuss the Aron. Where is the Aron today? Tani b'shem Rabbi Lezer, as the first shita, ha'Aron gala iman lebavel. The Aron went along with Yisrael to Bavel. My timer, how do we know that? Le'yivaser davar amar Hashem. Hashem is describing the Golos, nothing will remain behind. Dover won't remain behind, what is that? And Dover, Elashad Dibrois L'Secha. That's the urn which has the Dibrois, Aseres HaDibrois, the two Luchais. That urn will not remain behind in Yerushalayim, rather will travel to Bavel with Yisrael. V'cheinu Omer, the Pasuk says, of the Shuvas HaShon, at the end of the year, Shalach HaMelech V'chadnetzar, V'yivi'eyu Bavelo, Im Kleichem Des Beis Hashem. So Nebuchadnezzar went and he brought the king to Babel together with something unique. Klei Chemdas, Beis Hashem. What is that? Ezo Klei Chemdas, Beis Hashem. What's the kli which is precious to Hashem? The Aron is the most precious kli which houses the Luchas, which represents the Torah down this world, which of course is Hashem's Klei Chemda, the most precious entity. So from here we have a riot that the Aron ended up in Babel. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omer, no. The Aron is hidden right in its place below the floor in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Hadav Dichsiv, as the Pasuk says, Vayirichu Abadim, the poles which were used to carry the Aron, they protruded, they were long, Vayirau Rashi Abadim Alakod Elakodesh Alpnei Advir, they were seen beyond the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Heichal as well, they protruded past the, through the Paroiches, V'lo Yirah Chutzah, but they weren't seen outside. And the Vilna Gaon adds the punchline here, the Pasuk concludes, Uksiv Vayu Shem Adayim Hazeh, and they were there up until today, which indicates that the Aron with the Badim sunk down into the ground right beneath the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now we have a little problem here with the Lashon HaPasuk, describing the length of the Badim and how they were visible. Ksiv, first it says, Vayiro, they were seen outside. Meaning beyond the Pareches. In the Heichal, you can see the Badim protruding through the Pareches. Va'at Amr, Vayiro, and then you say, no, they were not seen. So the same Pasuk seems to contradict itself. Were they seen or not? Ela Nirin, V'loy Nirin. They were seen somewhat. A bit seen, a bit not. Bolton v'yaitzin kishnei dadei hisha. They were protruding a bit past the pareches, so the badim were sticking out from inside the kodesh hakodashim, a bit protruding into the pareches and creating this impression of the two breasts of an isha. We know that the arayin with the kruvim it symbolized the relationship, the close relationship between Hashem and Yisrael, and that's why it's very fitting that the arayin would present himself in this manner. So shita number two is Rav Shimon Malakish that the Aron was hidden beneath the Kodesh HaKadosh. V'rabbar Amri, they say Belishkas Dira Eitzim Haya Aron Ganos, that it was actually in the Lishka of the Eitzim of the firewood that the Aron was hidden. I think Moshe will tell us that Yeshayahu HaMelech actually foresaw the Golos and he hid the Aron ahead of time so that it not be taken into captivity and be degraded Chas V'Shalom. So he hid it beneath the Beis HaMikdash, and according to Rabbanon, it was beneath the room of the Eitzim. Now, it's interesting that the Rav Adin Baternur Mishnayis, brings, perhaps as a medrash, he brings that Shlomo HaMelech already pre-built some tunnel system, some complex tunnel system beneath the surface of Beis HaMikdash, because he foresaw the Golos. He knew that it's not going to last forever. Therefore, he prepared in advance, ahead of time, a hiding place for the Aron, and Yeshayahu HaMelech was the one who actually decided to hide it beneath the surface. In fact, says the Gemara, Ma'aseh b'Kohen Echad, we had the story related in the Mishnah of this Kohen, who was a Baal Mum, and his job was to inspect the firewood. She'oimed mefatzel etzim, he was standing and peeling off the bark of the wood to check for worms. Belishkas, there were etzim in that room. He noticed that the floors in one area a bit different than the rest. Bav Amel Chaveri went to tell his friends, Boy Ray, come take a look, it's a Ritzpah Zois. This floor, looks different than the other. Lo Yispik Liv Gemara Sadover, he didn't get to finish his sentence and his description, Ashiyos and Shmasai, and his neshama left him. V'yodu b'yichud, and they knew with certainty, Sheshama Ar Ganos, that is the location of the hidden Ar. You know, it's a fascinating story brought in the book, in the Sefer Offer, the boss, written by Ruchama Shein, a daughter of the tzaddik, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman, who lived in Manhattan. He was an Erlich Yid, one of very few tzaddikim at the turn of the century. And she brings a phenomenal story. In the name of her brother, Nachum David, who learned in Mir Yeshiva in Poland, and she asked him special permission to publicize a story in her book, and he gave her permission. And it goes as follows. There was a Jew who plowed his field. He was plowing his field in Eretz Yisrael outside Yerushalayim. Suddenly he notices, he feels the ground loosening up beneath him. And he discovers a cave, a tunnel beneath his field. It's pitch black in there. And he lowers himself down with a rope. And he's shocked, he's in awe. He sees a room full of golden kalim, which to him seemed pretty clear that it was the hidden treasures of the Beis HaMikdash. Ancient vessels and beautiful gold kalim, and he was shocked in amazement. And he quickly left the cave, covered it up, hid it, and it was just weighing heavy on him. He just didn't know what to do about that information. And he was afraid to reveal it to anybody at his show, lest it get out and be discovered. And, it might be approached and touched. And he was afraid of divulging it in Eretz Yisrael. So the way she relates the story is that he traveled to New York to find somebody to discuss it with. And he turned to the locals. He says, who can I speak with regarding something religious? And they directed him to this Yid, Yaakov Yosef Herman. And he didn't go right away. He first went to Masifta Tveres Yerushalayim, where Yaakov Yosef would give shiurim, and he came there for a few days to listen to his shiurim to see if this fellow is indeed a person worthy of receiving this information. And once he was convinced, he approached him, told him the whole story, and says, "What should I do about this information?" Rabbi Herman was taken aback. He says, "This goes to the Chafetz Chaim. This is a shaila for the Chafetz Chaim." And he actually had a son, Nachum Dov, who was learning in Poland at that point, in Mir Yeshiva. So Rabbi Herman wrote up a letter, a confidential letter to the Chafetz Chaim. He sealed it. He put it into a letter for his son, Nachum Dov, in Mir. And he sent it registered mail to his son. He said, "Don't open that letter to Chafetz Chaim. Please travel to Radin and give it over to him. It's a confidential letter." Nachum Dov received the letter. He traveled to Radin, gave it to Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim couldn't read Rabbi Herman's handwriting. So he asked Nachum Dov to read it for him. That's how he saw the content. So he read through the letter. Rabbi Herman, his father, described in detail the whole story, that this Yid was plowing, he found a cave full of kalim. We're wondering whether it's the Beis HaMikdash's kalim, what to do about it. Chafetz Chaim heard all the details, and he took a few minutes. He went to his bookcase, he pulled out some svarim, and he was deeply engrossed for a while. And when he was done, he turned to Nachum Dov and he says, "Based on the Midrash and based on the Sfarim that I was looking at, it seems very probable that this indeed was the storage area based on the location, etc. It seems that this is the storage area of the kalim that were hidden away before the Gullus." And he took a match. Nachum Chaim burnt up the letter and he said, "Keep it a secret." But It's still an inspiring story. We don't know where or what, but the fact that it's real and we have the kalim, and history is reality. That gives us a chizuk and generates hope and excitement that Bekarv will see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash with all the kelim returned, v'areinu b'vinyanoi v'samcheinu b'sekunoi amen. Continues the Gemara Tani, we have a Braiser, Rabbi Oishu. He had a different version of the Kayin in the Dir Lishka Seitz. He kishaleh b'kurnas. He noticed something wrong with the floor, and he was a little creative. He took a hammer and started banging on that tile to straighten it out, to remove it. V'yatza eish, and a fire came out, v'sarfas and burnt them up. On the topic of the Aron, continues the Gemara Tani, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish Amar, Beis Aroinos Hoyu Mahalchen Misrov HaMidbar. There were actually two Aroinos which accompanied Yisrov on the Midbar. Achad, one of them, was the gold one, fashioned by Bezalel, Shehoysa HaToyro Nesuna B'Seichon, in which the Torah, the two Luchos, the second Luchos, the ones that were intact, they were placed in that Aron. That was the main Aron. V'achar, another one, Shehoyushivre Luchos Nesuna B'Seichon. We had another box, not sure exactly what it looked like, but it contained the broken luchos, the luchos rishonis, which were broken on account of the eagle. And the Gemara elsewhere says that if you see a zaken who forgot his learning, be careful, have covered for him, treat him with proper respect, even though he forgot his Torah. Why? Because we see that luchos, vishivri luchos, monachin ba'ar, not only the second luchos placed in the Aron, but even the broken ones, they still have some value to them. So the Zaken, this elderly fellow who lost his Torah, he's like Shivri Luchos. He served as a vessel for Torah, and he still has value. Say we have two Aronis, one that contained the intact Luchos, the Luchos Shniyos, that was the main Aron, another one that contained the broken Luchos. The one that contained the Torah, that was sitting the Elmoid, the Mishkan, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Hado Dechsiv. On that, the Pasuk says, this is when the Ma'apilim, there was a group of Yidden who insisted on pushing forward and entering Eretz Yisrael unauthorized. So they began, they waged war, and the Pasuk says it wasn't the right thing to do. V'aroyim bris Hashem v'moshe lo yimoshu mekev ha-machna. The Aron of Hashem and Moshe didn't budge from the machna, from the encampment. The Aron stayed back in the Oil Moed. That was the Aron that contained the second Luchos. That was the main Aron. Zesha, Hayu Shivir Luchos, and Sunnah B'Saychai. However, the other Aron, which contained the broken Luchos, Hayu Nichnas V'Yotzimayan. That's the one that used to go out and in, meaning it preceded, it went in advance of Yisrael. You know, the Medrash says that the Aron would flatten out all the mountains on the road, would make for easy traveling. So that was this Aron that contained the Shivir Luchos. That was the urn that served like a scout. And sometimes it was seen, it accompanied the Yisrael, meaning when they were out to war. So the Ma'apilim who forged ahead, without permission, were assuming they took the urn, which contained the Shivir Luchos, which was the urn designated for waging war. But the Pasuk says that the main urn, the Aron Bris Hashem, remained back in the oil. Apparently, there were two separate Aronis which accompanied Yisrael in the Midrash. That's a shita of who? Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. V'Rabbanan Amri, they disagree. Aron Echad Hoya. There's only one single Aron which contained within it both sets of Luchos. Upam Achas. One time it happened that Yotza B'mei Eli. They took out that Aron to war. It was something inappropriate. They took it out to war. V'Nishba, and it was captured by the Plishtim. And then the whole story where eventually the Plishtim were punished on account of holding onto the Aron, decided to send it back, and they sent it back with a gift, and David HaMelech put it in Kiryas Arim until the Beis HaMikdash was built. So you have Machlokes, two Aronis, or one. Kroya Apostolic Messiah Aluhu Rabban, supposed to Rabbanon that there was only one Aron. And generally speaking, it wasn't taken out to war, except for this one time when it came out with them to war. The Pasuk says that the Plishtim, when they saw the Aron, they were shocked, they were frightened. Oy lanu, woe to us, mi atzilenu, who's going to save us? Miyad elokim adim re'elu. From this godly, this Aron here, this represents Hashem, they were so frightened by it. Apparently, this was mila, a thing, the loichamun min yoymeyon, that they haven't seen all their life. The first time they noticed the Aron, because it wasn't something that was taken to war. Says right to the Rabbanan, there was only one Aron. Kroye Messiah, there would be the Ben Lakish. We have a pasuk in support of the other sheet. This was when they waged war with the Plishtim. And he told Achia, Hagisha Aron Elokim. Bring over the Aron Elokim. Now the kasha is, Valoy Aron Bekiris Yoram Haya. The Aron was back in Kiris Yoram. So what do you mean when he said to Achia, you know, hand over, pass over the Aron, which sounds like it was right here, but wasn't there. It was elsewhere. Yavan HaMelech brought it into Kiris Yoram, which was far away. Apparently there were two Aronis. The one that housed the Luchais Shniyais, the intact Luchais, wasn't in Kiris Yoram. That was the one that Bezalel fashioned. But there was another one, which came with them to war, and that was the one that Shaul was referring to. Ma Avdan LeRabbanan. What did Rabbanan do with this pasuk? They claimed there was only one Aron. Hagisha Elai Hatzitz. He wasn't referring to the Aron, the ark that contained the Luchais. He was referring to a box which contained the Bigde Kehuna. They wanted to ask a Shaila of the Urim V'Tumim, which can only be done when the Kohen Gadol wears his whole uniform. So this chest contained the Bigde Kehuna, and that's all he meant. Hagisha Elai Hatzitz, hand over the box containing Bigde Kehuna. Why is it referred to as Hatzitz? Karben Eda says, because of all the Bigde Kehuna, Hatzitz hu achoshev shebehen. The most choshev of all is the tzitz, pure gold, it said Kodesh Lashem. So it's unrelated to the Aron, which contained the Luchas. Kroyim Asayeya, Rav Yudah ben Lakish, a pasuk that supports Rav Yudah Shita, that there were two Aronis. The pasuk says, Ha'oren v'Yisrael, v'Yehuda, where were they? Yoishvin v'Sukkos, in the town of Sukkos. What do you mean? The Aron was in Sukkos? V'aloi Aron b'Tzion haya, the Aron was already in Yerushalayim. How can we say it was in the town of Sukkos? Apparently, there were two Aronis. One back home, and one out in Sukkos. That was the one that had the Shivri Luchos that went with them to war. Ma Avdan LeRabbanan. What did Rabbanan do with this pasuk, which sounds like there were two Aronis? Says the Gemara, Sukkos is not a name of a town. Schach Shehu Kekiroi. It was simply describing the covering. It was some sort of improvised covering, some sort of material that was sheltering the Aron. Schach Shehu Kekiroi, which served like a roof. Shadayin lo yidniv le Beis HaBchira, because this was still before the Beis HaMikdash was built, and therefore the Aron had to be placed in a makeshift tent. That's what the pasuk means. It was sitting besukos, under a tent. But really, there was only one Aron altogether. Okay, let's make a quick chazara of today's daf. The first piece related back to the Mishnah discussing the Nesachim tickets, which were date stamped in a way which avoided any ramos, any deceit. We discussed the two lishkos in the Beis HaMikdash, one which was called Lishkos Chashoyin, where people would donate quietly and the recipients would receive in a way which would not compromise their honor. We discussed Maskil Adol, giving tzedakah with Chachma, with sensitivity. Priorities when it comes to tzedakah, supporting Torah takes priority over grand shuls. We discussed that the Bedek HaBayis funds can be upgraded to Kodesh Mizbeach, but not in the reverse. We discussed three shittes, where the urn ended up, either in Bavel, or it was buried in beneath the Kodesh Beis HaKadoshim, or beneath the Lishkas HaEitzim. We had a story of the Kayan, and we concluded with the Machlokes, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, there were two Aronis, one remained behind in the Beis HaMikdash, and one went out to war. And Rabbanu who say, there's only one Aron. Kol Tov, be well, and much aslacha to you.